Hello again, friends. We're in Psalm 92, and the joy has definitely set in. There's a whole lot of happy here in Psalm 92, and today we rest in it. This one is introduced to us as a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. This one is meant to be sung, and it's meant for a day of rest. Have you ever noticed how different the world looks on your day off? Same world, new perspective. Sabbath is an amazing gift. A little rest from toil changes your focus. Eyes off of problems and back on God. Just last week, I got a couple days off after a very busy work week, and I could feel my soul stretching out again, relaxing, refocusing. Work is a gift and rest is a gift. And Psalm 92 is for that day off playlist. You know the one. If you like country, it probably has a little Chicken Fried, maybe a little Thank You Lord by Chris Tomlin. Well, add Psalm 92 to the playlist, take a long breath, forget about work, and just focus on Sabbath, starting at verse 1. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. Can you hear the music begin to play? The lilt of strings on lyre and harp begin their playful melody. Now, lyre and harp are both stringed instruments. Lyre, the instrument, not the person. English is confusing. But listen, can you hear the lilt of strings beginning their playful melody? Now, I don't play an instrument. My kids do, and some friends do. Very talented. And every now and then, I'll just happen to be there when one of them picks up a guitar or sits at the piano, and suddenly, magic happens. And it blows me away how expressive, how incredibly eloquent a set of strings can be, even before the words begin. And when praise is added, wow. Verse 1 says it well. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. It is so, so good. And I love the rhythm of morning and evening captured in verse 2. Start the day by proclaiming God's love in the morning and close it with his faithfulness at night. And put it to song. You are good, Lord. You kept your promises to us today. And the strings echo the gratitude with the lilt and lightness that only strings can. Verse 4. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. That verse really captures for me something that Sabbath is quite good for. A day of rest lets me get my eyes off all my stresses so I can see the works of God all around me. Sometimes, I admit, I catch myself focusing on all the problems. You know, everything I need to fix. When I'm in work mode, my mind doesn't bother with the stuff that's right. It just zeroes in on what needs fixing, what's wrong. And of course, I stress because problems are stressful. And even in prayer, I can get so stuck on praying about the things I'm asking God to fix. But then when I stop to praise, whether it's a Sabbath day or just a break to praise God, I start thanking him for all that's good. And suddenly I realized there's so much that is good. I just wasn't paying attention to it because it doesn't need fixing. When I hyper-focus on fixing things, my whole world is problems. But in that moment of praise, it's as though I step out of myself. And I look back and I see myself standing in front of this little mound of problems, stressing over it, not realizing that I'm standing on top of this great big mountain of God's blessings and goodness in my life, and standing under a sky full of wonders, missing it all, just staring at a little mound of problems. But then I do see it all when I stop to look and to praise God for it. Look up, see the sky spread out above you, God's great canvas every day and every moment, filled with glorious shades of blue and great puffy clouds the size of mountains, until the sun drops below the horizon and lights up the evening sky with spectacular shades of orange and purple, and then it all disappears to reveal countless galaxies of God's wonders. I know, some days it's all hidden by an overcast haze, and some days you're just stuck inside. But this is Psalm 92. This day is sunny and beautiful wherever you are. Back in verse 5, how great are your works, Lord! How profound your thoughts! All those countless wonders, from every atom to every galaxy, to every color that lights up the sky, to every law of science that molds and shapes it in every moment, God thought of that. How profound are the thoughts of God! And yet, so many just don't see it. Verse 6, senseless people do not know, fools do not understand. There is a blindness in mankind that is self-inflicted. They don't see because they won't see. But pay attention here to what they refuse to see. Back in verse 6, fools do not understand that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. What the senseless people don't see is the fate of the wicked. So how does that fit here? Think back to all the Psalms of lament and the distress over seeing the wicked prosper. How long, Lord, was the cry? Well, now the psalmist sees it. The soul at rest sees what the fool cannot, that evildoers flourish for but a moment, but the Lord is exalted forever. In verse 9, for surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. This life is full of many battles, and the spiritual forces of evil and all the wicked of the world make it a fight to the end. But here, the psalmist rests in God's victory. God wins, and with him, we win. Verse 10, you have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. The imagery here is about victory. A wild ox lifts its horn because it is strong, undefeated. And so do we. If God be for us, who can be against us? Fine oil was a picture of joy, and it was poured out in celebration of victory. We win. Verse 11, my eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. And then in the final stanza, the battle is done. The wicked are gone, and the righteous live on. Verse 12, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. I love this picture. Remember Moses' prayer at the end of Psalm 90, that the Lord would establish the work of our hands. Here we find God's response. The righteous flourish like a great palm. I actually have several in my yard. Beautiful and noble trees. There is a great sense of rest and strength in the palm tree. They endure storms and stand strong. And then the cedars. Lebanon is known for them. Cedars there grow up to 120 feet tall. That's 40 meters, with branches spreading out to 40 feet in diameter. Massive, towering trees. Some of them in Lebanon are more than 3,000 years old, as old as this psalm. They've endured wars and outlived empires, and so will the righteous. In verse 14, they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. Now there's a picture, bearing fruit into old age. The New Testament describes that fruit as righteousness and peace, doing right and living at peace with God and others. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. And he promises that those who abide in him will bear much fruit. The fruit of love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Read Psalm 92. Set your heart at rest and let your soul stretch out. And always remember to look up.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.